Let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. Coast to Coast, This Week in America. The Road to Georgia Marble by Bill Cagle tells an informative and concise history of Georgia's marble industry that includes the quarries and the company that holds a complete monopoly on them. The book shares the history of how the marble industry was conceived in the heart of Georgia and how marble went from a rock in the ground to a booming business that is coveted by so many. Bill has a deep connection to the town and company that made a foundation in the marble industry. A sixth-generation resident of Pickens, Cherokee County, Georgia, he also has a background working with historical societies as he had years of study. Along with this, his firsthand stories about the Georgia marble gives him an excellent connection to the state's history. He regularly gives lectures on the history of Georgia's marble industry. Bill has a 33-year career in the construction industry, where he currently serves as a regional manager. Bill Cagle, author of The Road to Georgia Marble, How the Federal Road Led to Georgia's Marble Industry, is our guest on This Week in America. Bill, welcome to the program. A pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you for having me today.
What a piece of history. You make it come alive in your book, The Road to Georgia Marble. Let's talk about writing this process. What made it you, sort of motivated you, inspired you to write this story?
Well, it was totally unexpected. For being a longtime resident of Pickens County, again, sixth generation, our fall festival is the Georgia Marble Festival each year, and that's the only time of the year that the quarries is open to the general public, and you can do a quarry tour, which takes you on the history of the, tells you a little bit about the history of the county and what have you. And I've been doing that since about 2006-07, and
wow,
they had a script that was, it wasn't all that accurate, and being a history buff and knowing a lot about the county and the history of Georgia and North Georgia and the Pickens County, I just made up my own script, and which centered around the history of the Federal Road, the Cherokee Nation, which if you look at a map of Georgia 200 years ago in the Cherokee Nation, what is now Pickens County is almost in the center of what was the Cherokee Nation. And so I put that all together and included, obviously, because it's the Marble Festival, history of the Georgia Marble Company, because my grandfather and other relatives worked there for many decades.
Yes.
Years ago. And so I would conduct the tour and give my own speech, so to speak. And people would ask, is there a book you can buy on the history of this? Because I had no idea there was so much history here. And I said, well, there's no book you can buy, but I said, there's a lot of books that you might find that's no longer in publication. You might find them online and what have you. And people say, well, you need to write a book. I heard that for about 5 or 6 years continuously. And I'm pretty hard headed and I admit that. and so I finally said, well, I'm so far from being a writer, never considered myself a writer, but I heard that for about 5 or 6 years. And so I finally said, I'm going to write a book. So I began gathering my sources and I used my script as the outline. And, 2 years later or 2.5 years later, I became a published author.
And here is the book we're talking about, The Road to Georgia Marble, How the Federal Road Led to Discovering Georgia's Marble Industry by Bill Cagle. In fact, you talk in the book about what your grandfather was carrying buckets of water to the quarry for like 16 cents an hour at that time. So the family history does go deep into this section of Georgia and this industry. What did you find, Bill, to be the most challenging, the most difficult part in writing the book? It's one thing, I guess, to get up and talk it. Now you're going to write it, probably did some research to put all of this together, trying to figure out chronologically how to do it. Any challenges in writing your book?
Oh, yeah, there were several. Number one, again, I'm not a writer or never consider myself a writer. And the biggest problem for me was condensing all the information. The rough draft I originally sent my publisher was, I think it was 230 or 40 pages, somewhere around there. And of course, I have a lot of pictures in the book because I wanted the pictures to coincide with the story that's
yes.
being told. And they asked me to keep it under 100 and right at somewhere around 150 pages. So I had to take out, you know, about 60 or 70 pages of information that was kind of difficult to do. And so I just condensed a lot of the information about the history of the Federal Road and the impact it made in developing North Georgia, and also the Cherokee Nation, and centered it mostly around the marble industry and the history there and what kind of impact it made on the new nation, you know, 150, 60 years ago and as through today.
The book is a fascinating read by Bill Cagle, our guest on the program at C-A-G-L-E. Bill's website, simple, name of the book, theroadtogeorgiamarble.com. You'll find the book available wherever books are sold. More information, and you can order the book on Bill's website, theroadtogeorgiamarble.com. We'll have a link on our website. You can click on, go directly to the website and get information. Bill, you know a lot about this, probably more than 99.9% of the people there. But when you sit down to do the book and you start doing research, anything that surprised you, anything you found out that was like, wow, I didn't know that?
Well, yeah, there's several things, but the two biggest things that came up that surprised me, and one of them was by fate, really, was the founder, the one that is given commercial credit for discovering the marble industry, was a gentleman back in the 1830s by the name of Henry Fitzsimmons. And he was murdered in a knife fight on Christmas Eve in 1844. And the murder was unsolved. Well, and it was just by fate. When I was doing my research and making my rough draft and writing my rough draft, I had one of a descendant of his contact me, because I'm president of the local historical society here, and contact me about wanted to make a contribution. And he told me who he was. And so we conversed back and forth, and I told him what I was doing. And I'd asked him about Henry Fitzsimmons being murdered, and he said yes, and it was done in a knife fight in a tavern, and it was done by a man by the name of John Mundy, and it was probably over the fact that Henry Fitzsimmons' wife and John Mundy were having an affair. So naturally, the fight was over a woman. So
yes. Interesting in how this book came about and what Bill was able to find, and with his knowledge put together this excellent history of Georgia marble. I want to talk about the subtitle, How the Federal Road Led to Discovering Georgia's Marble Industry. Tell us how the Federal Road impacted Georgia and the Cherokee Nation in that area, and what the early 1800s, what impact did the road have on them?
Well, the Federal Road started out as the Cherokee trading path, and do the Treaty of Tellico, which was signed in 1805. The federal government had the Federal Road built, and the Cherokees were responsible for the building and maintaining the road, and they collected tolls to help pay for that. And so the road brought a lot of growth and made trade easier between all the trading posts and towns that were popping up throughout the new nation back then. And then one big thing that happened in 1829, the first major gold rush happened in North Georgia, in around Lumpkin County and Habersham County and White counties, not too terribly far from Pickens and Cherokee County. And this brought tremendous growth because I think it was over 10,000 prospectors came in. And this was the first major gold rush in the United States until 1849. And then with that growth, other towns began to grow and prosper and expand, and until which led to the Indian Removal Act being signed. And ironically, it provided a passage for the Trail of Tears. So like I mentioned, in late 1830s, Henry Fitzsimmons commercially discovered an outcropping of marble when he was traveling the Federal Road to see his winnings. He won the land lottery. Georgia is unique in that it's the only state that had a land lottery. And he won land lot 172, which is in what is now Pickens County. And he found an outcropping of marble when he was kicked off a stagecoach for being the good Irishman that he was. And I can say this because I've got some Irish blood.
I know what you mean.
He became a little bit rowdy and rambunctious because he drank too much White Lightning at one of the taverns along the way. And he discovered an outcropping of marble. And the next year, he moved his family to what is now Pickens County and opened up a couple of small marble finishing mills and quarries and began selling marble. So he is commercially credited for discovering the marble industry.
It's just incredible how that all came about. It sounds like the Tate family was very prosperous. Yeah, how wealthy were they? What kind of money were they able to generate back in that time period?
Well, the Tate family was the one that really put the marble industry on the map. Colonel Sam Tate, who took over Georgia Marble in 1905 and really began to grow the business. In Collier's National Weekly, which was a publication back in the early 1900s. The December 6th issue, 1924, estimated Colonel Sam Tate's net worth to be $165 billion. And that's with a B.
Wow.
In 1924, which is the equivalent of about $2.9 trillion.
I was going to say, when you factor in inflation, that had to be worth a whole bunch at that time.
Yes. What? Yes. People talk about the Carnegies and the Vanderbilts and what have you. They couldn't shine Sam Tate's shoes as far as wealth is concerned.
That's just incredible. And for most of us, we've never heard that before, you know, the Tate story. And I never heard a lot about Georgia Marble before. Marble is something you just sort of take for granted. And it's a fascinating story of how that came to be developed in Georgia. The book is The Road to Georgia Marble, how the federal road led to discovering Georgia's marble industry. Let's talk specifically about that. How did the federal road, what role did that play in Pickens County in the marble industry? Tell us about how that all came about and the factor that was in really changing lives for people.
Yes, it opened up development, helped towns and communities grow. And it was again, going back to the gold rush, first major gold rush, it made passage for that a lot easier in transporting goods and services. And it also allowed the marble industry to grow because it provided a road to transport marble. Of course, you know, marble is very heavy and very dense. So the market was limited because this was before the railroad came into North Georgia. But the road provided a means of passage that allowed the marble to be sold through to various towns and communities and private individuals.
Yes.
And so forth. And it also provided a passage during the Civil War for both the Confederacy and as well as the Union troops. And it was widely used, good portions of the Federal Road was widely used until the early 1900s from eastern Kentucky all the way down to northeast Georgia through Savannah, Georgia, and had some passages or tributaries going all the way down to St. Augustine, Florida.
It's just an amazing story. Bill's website, by the way, the road to georgiamarble.com, the title of the book available at amazon.com, all the usual places you can find out about it and order it on Bill's website, the road to georgiamarble.com, and a link on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. I understand the majority of the monuments, the buildings in Washington contain Georgia marble. Is that true? And talk about that.
Yes. Of course, the most famous project ever that you ever used Georgia marble was the Lincoln Memorial. Abraham Lincoln, the Abraham Lincoln Monument itself is made out of Georgia marble, and the entire building is comprised of various stones throughout the country, but Abraham Lincoln is actually Georgia marble. And there's over 60% of the other buildings and monuments in Washington, D.C. contain Georgia marble. And I think it's around 94% of all the headstones and monuments in Arlington National Cemetery contain Georgia marble.
That's just an amazing story. Besides in Washington, D.C., that area, has the marble been used in other states, maybe even other countries?
Oh, yes. It's every state in the Union has at least one, but most of them have multiple projects that contain Georgia marble. And it's shipped throughout many overseas countries as well. If memory serves me correctly, the last foreign country to use Georgia marble, I think it was in Indonesia, it's probably been about 8 or 10 years ago, had a pretty good size project there that where Georgia marble was shipped to overseas.
It's amazing to watch the progression of this business of Georgia marble, how it's taken off. Let's go back to the Georgia Marble Company in the early 1900s. It really seemed to experience rapid growth at that point. Why was that?
Well, several things there. Number one, Colonel Sam Tate really knew how to market and sell products. He hired some of the best employees money could find to help sell the company and the product. But one of the biggest factor, well, they had secured a lot of fairly big projects. But the most important thing that happened in the early 1920s, there was an explosion in Manhattan around New York Stock Exchange. And it was a terrorist group. I think it was the IRA and that did that. And in about two block radius of the stock exchange building, all the buildings were damaged. And the only part of the New York Stock Exchange that was not damaged was the carving or sculpture that was on the outside of it, which was made by Georgia Marble. And they inspected it and found that it was still as intact as it was when it was installed. And so specifiers, architects, engineers began specifying and demanding Georgia marble for its durability and building capability, integrity.
What's the status today? How is the industry doing? Still a thriving business in Pickens County and in Georgia?
Yes, it is. It's still a very much thriving business. Most of the structural division is going to the Department of Veterans Affairs because they have a contract to provide headstones for all our veterans. And they do some commercial work there as well. But most of the majority of the marble being used today is goes out in calcium carbonate, a ground found fine powder to various industries. It's used everything from the feed industry to the construction industry and paints, caulks, ceiling tile. The average automobile probably has 500 pounds of Georgia marble in it, from the paints and the rubber on the tires, the vinyl, and it's using the floor mats and so forth. And we come in contact with it every day, from personal care products,
yes,
cosmetics, you name it. It's in Tums and Rolaids. A lot of the white powdery substances on the outside of your chewing gum wrapper, that on the inside of the chewing gum wrapper is Georgia marble to keep the gum from sticking to the paper. It's still a very much thriving industry today.
It's been a history lesson for us on the program today. I got a couple minutes left. Bill Cagle, that's Cagle, the author of The Road to Georgia Marble. His website, theroadtogeorgiamarble.com, is our guest. And in talking about that, we've focused on the successes. You talk about some of the challenges and some of the failures, the difficulty they had. Just briefly, what were some of those? Because this wasn't all smooth sailing throughout the process, was it?
No, it wasn't. I mean, especially in the early days, one of the biggest challenges was generating the capital to clear the land to get down to the marble, where the marble was located. And so it was very challenging and very expensive to clear the land, especially going back well over 100 years ago, when they didn't have the modern technology that they do today. Because back then they would use hydraulic mining techniques, using water to wash away the earth to expose the marble. And then the Great Depression was probably the next biggest thing. Colonel Sam Tate was very charitable with his men. He had over 1,100 men working for him in the heyday during the Roaring Twenties and what have you. And during the Depression, not a single man was laid off. You may not work every day, but he donated marble and sold it at cost to many a project just to keep the men working so they could provide food on the table and a roof over the family's head. So he was very charitable, and then he unfortunately passed away in 1938. He had cancer, and then of course, thankfully, shortly thereafter, a couple of years after that, we started coming out of the Great Depression. So, but he provided well for his employees, and he was kind of like a father figure to all of his employees. He knew every employee by name. He knew their wives by name. He even knew all their kids by name.
Boy, this is such an amazing read. The book is The Road to Georgia Marble, How the Federal Road Led to Discovering Georgia's Marble Industry, from the time of inception, where they realized what they had, all the way up to the present time. Bill has done an excellent job in tying this all together. And again, as I mentioned in the beginning, this is like a personal project for you as well, isn't it? Because you've got family members that go back, and some of the stories you tell were firsthand accounts, or you heard them from a person who actually witnessed these firsthand.
Yes, exactly. You know, my grandfather, like I say, he started out as a water boy back in the early 1920s. His dad died when he was young, and he and his brothers went to work in the marble industry. And actually, my wife's great grandfather hired my grandfather to be the water boy, and then he worked. Yeah, and he worked all of his adult life except for during World War II at Georgia Marble. And I had other family members, and my wife's family had a lot of family members that worked there as well. So heard a lot of firsthand stories, you know, passed down, you know, yes, over the years. And so, and then of course, we're still a small town. I mean, you hear a lot of similar type stories about how well the marble industry served the community and the families and the Tate family as well.
What a remarkable story told by, and you are a good storyteller. You did a nice job in writing this book and making it relatable and move along and telling this fascinating story. The Road to Georgia Marble, How the Federal Road Led to Discovering Georgia's Marble Industry. Bill Cagle has been our guest, the author of the book. His website is theroadtogeorgiamarble.com. Book available at Amazon, all the usual places. Reader's Magnet, self-publishing and marketing company, assisted Bill in getting the book together, getting it marketed. Bill, what's it been like working with Reader's Magnet on this project?
Oh, they've been great. They've been very thorough, very professional, responsive, and supportive. And the one thing that has, again, I've been in sales most of my life. The one thing that has impressed me most about Reader's Magnet is that when they tell you they're going to do something, they're going to do it. And if they're running late, they'll give you notice and say that, hey, I'm going to run, you know, 15, 20 minutes late, yes, for our call. We've had, you know, I mean, they have been so professional and so thorough. I can't say enough about them.
Well, and I thank them for arranging our conversation today with Bill. Bill, it's been fascinating learning about Georgia Marble, the history. You've done an excellent job in keeping this history alive by the book, by the tours that you've done, continued to do there, and the speaking engagements. Thank you for making the time to talk with us on the program today.
Thank you, Rick. I really do appreciate it, and I can't thank you enough for having me.
Well, it's been our pleasure. Bill Cagle, the guest, the book, The Road to Georgia Marble, How the Federal Road Led to Discovering Georgia's Marble Industry. Bill's website, simple, theroadtogeorgiamarble.com. Book available at Amazon, the usual places. And you can find all this on our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we continue on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.